Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight's stories: bridal salon,
Poppy's money,
useless men,
daddy stepkids.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Comfort Level Podcast. I'm Maddie, and I'm here with
Brandon.
Sam.
Oh no! What? Line.
It went so quick. It went so quickly to me. There's something about the distance is traveling. I was like, whoa! What
that mean? Uh-oh, Husker did not like
Husker,
that.
Husker, sorry to laugh. Okay. We got to get, we're in a new studio.
Right.
We have to like feel it out. We got to get the vibe. We're so used to the old studio. We were like in our bag. So this is... Chairs are swivel.
This is fresh.
How do you guys feel?
I love it.
I love it.
It's like so a breath
cute.
Of fresh air.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh.
Change
it's
of
like
scenery.
Pinterest in here. You know
what I'm saying? It does feel Pinteresty.
I love it.
Like this is on somebody's mood board somewhere.
Yeah.
How do you feel about being able to like look at each other? Because I know
hate
that was
that
a
part of it.
Oh, okay. Because I remember before you're like, I love the table. Because the table is, we can
that.
Look at each
yeah.
other, and with the couches, it was kind of hard.
Yeah.
So especially, I'm asking the two people on the couch.
You know, this is really nice because I remember in the old videos, you can see me whenever I needed to look at somebody. So this is just like a gentle swivel.
Yeah. Little unknown fact, but I had to wear neck braces after every episode.
Yeah.
Like, and that's how dedicated like, Brandon is to this show.
We called him NBB, Neck Brace Boy.
I think only you called him. I didn't want to call him that.
I called him Neck Brace Brandy.
Oh, that actually works. Both of them work.
Oh, I think this was kind of behind his back now that I think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay. You never said that.
I call it sadness and bullying yeah. a little bit, actually. Oh. My feelings aren't hurt or anything.
Watch
yeah,
out
no.
for MBB's next tape he's going to drop.
Dropping diss tracks yeah. on him.
Yeah, no, you're right. It was stupid, like this first story.
Ooh! I see we still have the little applause that she
no
just
No matter
slips
where
in.
You go, she's applauding herself. It doesn't matter what studio we're in. She's going to applaud herself.
Did you see the fear as I immediately clicked
no,
the right
the
button?
Wait, I don't think you didn't see the person that isn't subscribed to this channel but needs to.
Oh.
Yeah. And also needs to like the video.
Wait, are you? Now. Wait, hold on. Are you guys not? Are you not subscribed?
Yeah, we're talking to you.
Wait,
you
guys,
sitting
calm
there,
down. Be nice.
You're like about to go to sleep. I see you.
Just go ahead and leave a comment about what you're doing as we're asking you forcefully to subscribe.
And wake up.
And in yeah, a nice tone, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you were mean about it.
Okay, so am I the asshole for repeatedly calling someone stupid after they accuse me of lying about my children's ethnicity?
Hmm. No, you're not. No.
No, I guess.
Okay, my husband is Dominican and I'm Irish. Our kids look like him in terms of facial features, but they inherited my pale skin. Our son has his father's dark hair, but my daughter is borderline dark blonde. Genes are weird. What are you going to do? Both my kids and myself have my husband's last name, which is a popular Dominican last name. There have been many times we get looks when people hear our last name and my husband isn't around, but it's never been too bad and usually I shrug it off. Due to my husband's work schedule, he's rarely at school events, so most people just know me. There's another little girl in my daughter's class with the same last name as us. Her mom also volunteers often. When we met, she flat out said, "You're not Dominican." And I said, "No, my husband and my kids are." And she said, "But your last name is X." And I said, "Yeah, because it's my husband's." She pointed out how pale they were, and I said, yeah, jeans are weird. But every time we see each other, she brings it up somehow, making comments about how pale the kids are, finding it weird that they don't know Spanish. My husband didn't learn growing up, so they don't know it either. I just let it roll off because while it's weird, I'm not about to get into a pissing contest. The teachers asked the kids to make collages about their cultures. My daughters had stuff related to being a Dominican and stuff related to being Irish. They had a whole culture day where parents were invited. The mom of the other little girl saw my daughter's collage and rolled her eyes, thankfully not in front of my daughter. There were no other kids around at the time as they were getting food. It was just the parents looking at the collages. I asked her, "What is your problem?" And she said, "You're not a real Dominican." And I said, "I never claimed to be." She said, "Your kids aren't either, and that your husband is probably only a little Dominican, and we're claiming a culture that's not ours." I was dumbfounded. All I could say was, "Are you stupid?" And she said, "There's no need to be defensive." Finally, I had enough, pulled out my phone, and showed her pictures of myself with my husband and the kids. She stared at it for a moment and mumbled an apology. I said, "Yeah, maybe research how genes work so you don't make yourself look stupid in front of a bunch of third graders." She got teary-eyed and walked away. I got the stink eye from some other parents, which I ignored, and when I told my husband later, he said calling her stupid repeatedly when she already apologized was an asshole move. Am I the asshole?
No. No, because why is this other lady so concerned? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, can you not mind your business?
Mm-hmm.
Can you not? Why are you so invested?
Yeah.
You have children, and yet here you are again, back so soon.
Because I can't even imagine saying it the first time.
And then you just keep going.
Repeating it is crazy.
It's crazy. Honestly, the stupid was a tip of the iceberg. God forbid it was me. It would be okay.
What are you saying?
It would be different. I think I might have took it a little bit farther.
Place the hands or what?
Nothing illegal.
A little
nothing
foul illegal.
Would have hands been placed?
Where would the hands have been placed? On her body, potentially?
Gently.
Gently. So much restraint in there.
Oh!
Just a light slap. Just
let me hold your hands when I sit, you know? Nothing crazy.
You might want to sit down for
let
this.
Let me just grip your shoulders sharply right. As I tell you. Yeah. Are you stupid?
Are you stupid, actually? Because are you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised that she even stopped when she saw a picture, because there's a picture and that's all it took. Mm-hmm. She showed her picture. She's like, oh. I'm surprised she was like, let me see the birth certificate. Let me see where he was born.
She sounds like the type.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. Why did a picture satiate her? She just saw he looked Dominican. She's like, okay.
Okay.
You're like, I wanted to be go that's big or fine. Go large. Ain't no going home.
What this lady is concerned about is a white person co-opting her culture. I'm guessing like that's what she's concerned about.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Is it that big of a deal? Because I feel like that's what she's like. She's like, I just don't want a white person claiming Dominican culture. And that's why she's so forceful about it. Maybe there's something in her life that someone has done this before. This has happened to her where it's happening. I still don't think it's right. I don't think anything's doing, but I'm trying to see what she's got up her butt so much about this.
But even still, why go out of her way?
Yes, that's
like
crazy.
Okay,
that's
walking past
wild.
The kids like artwork and being like,
yeah, bro.
Come on. That's a lie. That is a lie. I can't imagine like literally just looking at a kid's artwork and be like, yeah, fake Dominican. Stop.
Cause I just wonder like, well, actually, the husband isn't this way. But I was going to say, I wonder if it's just like a culture thing where they're like really prideful about like mm-hmm. where they come from. So if you are potentially like from their understanding appropriating Dominican culture, it's like, no, like you don't allow that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
To that, I respond. As a black person, you know how many white people I see walking around with braids or like.
Durags.
I was going to ask something. Because what Sam said reminded me of that. If she's potentially somebody who is saying you're appropriating my culture all the time, but some people find a line where they're like, no, it's appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
What is your guys's line when it comes to appreciation? Like you were saying, there's dreads. People that are out here. you won't let people do locks.
I'll let people do whatever they want. I'm actually a person who's like, I don't care if you do it, but I'm disgusted by it. Mm-hmm. So I see a white person with dreads. I'm like, ugh. But I guess I'm not too precious. And I do think black is different, especially like the quote unquote American black, than a more defined like Dominican or like someone who has like deep roots with their country versus us where we're like, we're American. We're like, we have a black culture, but I don't think it's as defined as that you're stealing from it completely. I don't know how to explain it. It's different than being.
I think it is. I think it is.
Stealing, but it's not the same to me as like Dominicans like have like a lot of them are so tied to their country or like a generation away. I'm several generations away from Africa. I guess on my mom's side, I'm several generations away.
But I think you like existing like black guy in America, that is a very, 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 very specific experience.
Yes, I do agree with that. Yeah.
Like just black, just like living black. And are we so far removed from like our ancestry? Yeah. And I think it kind of makes its own sublet of like category of people where we're like the black American experience is so unique and so specific to black Americans.
Yeah.
That's where I would argue and be like, well, yeah, I think it's something that you can pull from because so much of what culture is stemmed from black people.
Which I agree with, but isn't America where we're like, we're all kind of stealing from each other?
I think to some degree there is interchanging.
Yeah.
Of like some type of culture, but I feel like anybody like can look at something or you can see something done and be like, oh, somebody black probably did that.
Yeah, I think because a new thing I've started doing too is like whenever I think about like conversations like these, I always think from the black woman's like perspective, and it's like, you know, like when black women would do certain things, it's categorized as ghetto.
Yeah.
And it's like, but it's just how we have to operate. Like, you know, we can't go to bed with our head not wrapped. We can't we can't get our hair wet or stuff like that. And they're like, oh, that's ghetto. They're being ghetto. Like that's the terminology that they use. But usually it's innovative or it's something protective, like protecting your hair.
Yeah.
And it's something like, I feel like, It's very weird, but it's like I don't think other cultures necessarily understand that until they get it or they do it. And they're like, I see why they're doing that. And then they gentrify it and make it their own.
I think, which I was about to say, I think it's so hard because black culture is borrowed from so much that you get to a point where it's hard to distinguish, okay, what's a culture and what's just like, not for the masses, but like just things that people do.
And then you also think, man, I did a little bit of research, but they're saying something, it's called like root theory or something, where it's like when black people innovate stuff, they innovate it at the root and it stems off so many other things. And the big example was like music. Like a lot of different genres come from like that soulful, all the stuff we used to do in like the slave fields and all that. It starts there, branch, blues, branch,
country,
branch. Yeah. And then like.
But not rock and roll. Elvis invented that.
Well, okay. Where was Elvis at? Where did Elvis learn?
Yeah. Where did Elvis learn?
That part. Elvis was in the South at the clubs and he was like, that lady can sing.
I'm all shook up. Black people.
You know, black people. But okay, to your point, I have a question. So we're saying that it's borrowed, and like when black people do something, they're like usually looked at derogatory for a white person doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
In the perfect world, would you rather people be able to borrow it and it everyone would be treated the same, or do you think they shouldn't borrow it? Like, so in that case where a black woman's getting dogged because of her hair and the white woman can wear the same thing, it's fine. Would you rather the white woman be able to do it and the black woman be equally treated? Or would you say, no, this should just be only kept for black people and white people shouldn't be using it?
That's a hard question. I think a lot of the disdain that people, or black people especially, get when they see someone appropriating is because for that very same thing, they have had all this stigma and all this, you know, all these derogatory things that are associated towards that. But someone white can do the same thing, yeah, and, you know, it's totally fine. I think if everyone, in a perfect world, if everyone was treated fairly and black people weren't condemned and, you know, just essentially shot down for doing what black people do.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be different. I don't think that it would be as harsh. We'd be like, oh, yeah, you're literally stealing.
Yeah.
Like you're, mm-hmm. I don't think it would be. I think people would still have feelings about it, but I don't think it would be as serious as it is.
Okay.
So you're saying you would get rid of that in between time, like between innovation. Like when someone, like a black person, innovates something.
And acceptance.
And acceptance, yeah. The in between of innovation and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're getting rid of that time period. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying, okay, let's say there was a black creator.
Hold that thought.
That time I really did. Whoa. Say, hold that thought.
Hold on, before you start. Okay, so let's say there was a black creator.
Yeah.
And they...
Tyler.
I don't even know what to, like, do it against.
Well, what if it's something as simple as, like, AAVE? Like...
He makes a new language. I mean, he makes a new word, new slang.
When a black creator, because this is something that I had to unlearn, is like when a black creator says AAVE, some white people will be like, oh, that's ghetto. But then when a white person says it, because they're like, oh, that's just what Gen Z says now. It's like,
yeah.
Where did that come from?
It's hard. When you say AAVE, right, there are some things that just don't look right, don't sound right, because why? It's for the culture. Like, let's, white people with dreads,
mm-hmm.
Interesting, very interesting. It never, I put my hair in comb coils and just let it sit, and then it just did whatever it did.
Because I remember when I had freeform locks on our first cruise.
Oh yeah, I kind of forgot about that.
Yeah.
I just wasn't combing my hair. I wasn't combing my hair, and I used curling cream, and that's why they were so curly at the tips, because that's mm-hmm. what I was doing.
Yeah.
And it just naturally happened. Yeah. I was like, all you gotta do is get a retwist, but I just didn't want locks.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's too much.
It's just weird. I think some things just don't fit. Like, some things don't fit. Like AAVE, for example, if a white person were to say that same thing, it doesn't, most times it does not sound the same.
Unless they grew up in that culture, then you can kind of tell.
Unless you're really like in it.
Because like,
there's a very predominantly white area that I work in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's these like kids, they're like 17, 18, 19, maybe early 20s. And whenever they're talking, they're like, let's say money. Oh, yeah, we got in some 50s, some 100s. It just sounds weird. And I'm like, bro, what are you saying?
I got the perfect example.
What?
Gat.
Yeah, like, oh my God. And it's okay. Like, but what are you saying? Because
what I'm thinking is, here's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
There are some white people where like people are trying to figure out, okay, are they appropriating black culture when they're using AAV? Is it AAV or is it AAVE? Because in my head it's African-American vernacular, right? But what's the E for? Anyway.
English vernacular.
So AAV?
No, it's AAV.
Vernacular, A-A-V. English?
She got the Google.
All right, she's going to Google it. But what was it? There are some people who grow up around black people and they end up talking with maybe more AAVE than like somebody who grew up in a predominantly white area. and people aren't going to get mad at them because it's like, no, that's where you grew up.
Product yeah. of your own
environment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. African American vernacular English.
Okay. So it is AAV. Okay. Because I was like, where's the E? What is the E? So what about that? Like, maybe not in all circumstances, but in a way they are appropriating yeah. some culture because that's the culture that they yeah. grew up in.
Yeah. I mean, and you can tell when it's authentic.
Right.
You can. It is so clear when it's authentic. Like, I know probably 9 times out of 10, these kids do not go home and talk to their parents like that. Like, I know that is not how you talk to your mother. And I know that's probably how none of your family talks. Anyways, I said all that to say, I brought up this whole topic to say that even though I see people appropriating,
I'm against the
even though I see people appropriating, like, I don't actively go out and attack people. Like,
right.
yeah. I listened, I look at the appropriation and I see the appropriation. And I'm just like, okay, that's really interesting.
Because also we say this. Go ahead, Sam.
Oh, well, I just think the whole interesting thing from that conversation to me is that the appropriation is less the problem. It's more the animosity of how you're treated for doing the yeah. same thing. Like, that is yeah. the real issue.
That is
because
issue.
In the story, she wasn't appropriating.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
There is no, like, if there's no animosity, then you're less worried about what they're.
Yeah.
It does seem like more like appreciation because you're like, hey, we're all celebrated for yeah. this. You're just doing the same thing. So in that circumstance with AAVE specifically, like, if everyone's like, hey, this is how people talk. We're all talking like this and no one's getting dogged. A black person's not looking at like they're less educated because they're talking like this versus a white person doing it. You're like, then yeah, let's celebrate it.
Yeah.
But as long as there's that double standard with how people are treated for doing the same thing, like, that's where the appropriation is always going to come in to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it from your point. That hit me.
Damn.
Oh. Girly.
Girly.
But you can't appropriate a cookout like this.
This next story.
You can.
You can. Yeah, you can.
Damn it, Maddie.
That was for Brandon, though. So.
Did we like finish the story though? Because we basically went off on something like similar. Where we're like, you know what this makes me feel like?
No, I feel like we're all evenly like. We're not like, the asshole.
Yeah,
she's silly.
Yeah,
it was pretty. Straightforward.
And stupid isn't even that bad of yeah. what could have
now
been
said. Now you
said
those socks are TikTok shop?
Yeah.
Are those pants too?
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend the pants though.
Oh.
He said I can never dry them ever again.
Yeah. I probably got like a few more wears out of these and then it's cooked.
Why? Are they shrinking?
They're smaller than I thought. Okay. Like these are, I usually go for the smalls because, I mean, yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so this next story is, am I the asshole for saying just leave at my cookout?
Oh, just what leave. Happened?
Just leave.
Just go.
Bought the potato get salad with raisins.
Right. Yeah. Just you leave. Need to leave. You said that you would treat me right, but it was just a waste of time.
Oh, that was good. JoJo.
Just start at the top of the chorus it's for me one more time game. Again.
All right. 3, 5, 6, 2, 7, 8.
Leave.
Okay, start at get out, though. Okay, go.
Okay.
Get out. Leave.
Right now.
It's the end of you and me.
That's all she wanted to say. Leave.
Am I the asshole for saying just leave at my cookout? My sister, Nicole, 34, brought her new boyfriend, Steve, to our family cookout yesterday.
Steve.
It's for about 30 people. Everyone brought in sides. My sister brought one bag of store brand potato chips, and Steve helped himself right away before even being introduced to everybody. We're having hamburgers and hot dogs and just hanging out with family. It's nothing fancy. Steve asks, so is this it? When the first plate of hot dogs is done and waiting on the round of hamburgers.
Oh.
My wife says there'll be hamburgers soon. And Steve tells my wife and sister about how his family and how they have barbecue chicken, steak, shrimp, and many options. I pick up the plate of hot dogs and I told Steve he could leave to go to his family barbecue instead. He just looked at me and drank his beer. And I told him and my sister to go since this wasn't good enough for them. I gave my sister her store brand potato chips back and told her to get out.
Okay, you gotta be mean.
My sister and Steve left, and the cookout was fine after that. My mom heard about me kicking them out and was mad at me and told me to apologize to my sister. Maybe there was a misunderstanding, but Steve was just an asshole commenting like that at someone else's house and the first time you meet their family. My wife thinks I was right because Steve acted like that in her home, and insulting the host is a good reason to be kicked out. Mm. Others are split about 50-50 when they heard about what happened. Am I the asshole? No.
Of course not. Sam, what the hell are you split about?
Well, because she was like, when he was like, blah, 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 food thing, and she's like, well, you could go to your family's house. You can go to your family's house if you want a good cookout, blah, blah, blah. And he was silent. Like, that's her, that's her comeback. She got him. He quieted down. I would have ended it right there because I got him. He's embarrassed. If he continued, then I would have said, leave, get out. It's the end of you and me.
It's too late. And I can't wait.
So I would have gave him another shot after he was quiet.
So she said she did the comeback and then she just told him to leave.
I think it was the dad. The dad did it.
Oh, the dad did it?
And the wife agreed afterwards.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's two different people.
No, it's just the one guy telling the story.
Oh, it's the guy. I thought it was the wife telling. Okay. Either way, if it's one person, I would have said leave. He was quiet. If he had kept popping off, then I would have said get out. But because he was quiet and like, I would have been like, yeah.
But I mean, maybe like one or two beers in and you're already slip of the tongue like that.
Yeah. It was bad. That's why he deserved the pop off.
No, he can leave. He can leave too, because how are you coming into my cookout saying that when you bought one bag of chips for 30 people? Well, we all supposed to have one chip.
It was a family size.
Okay, so we get one and a half. Yeah. And by the time you break that chip down, half of it's on the floor.
30.
Okay, that is kind of
one. So beggars can be choosers too. No.
You're like,
no.
And he didn't even technically bring anything. It was his sister who brought it. But you know, you came with a sister, so it's like it counts. But if anything, you should have brought two bags of chips.
Yeah, at least like variety.
Who says that?
Steve. Not at least a variety pack of chips.
Not even a variety pack. Yeah. Like you bring a family size bag of chips.
Mm-hmm.
I hate those people at the cookout.
Yeah, I feel like it definitely would have been one of those moments where I was like, okay, an asshole.
Yeah.
But to, because we've never had a dramatic enough thing like this where we're like, we're kicking people out.
Yeah.
It's very much like, okay, we're not going to talk to you anymore.
He's shunning you.
So maybe you get the sign and you get out right now. We're just going to keep saying the lyrics. But yeah, but this person doing it, I'm like, hey, I don't care, because I do know like how much somebody's attitude can affect a party though.
Yeah.
So I understand where you're like, it was only one comment, but I'm like, if he was just, I feel like it could have got worse as time went on. And so it seems like it's small, but literally one person really can affect a party so much. So I feel like it probably increased the morale to be like, no, you're not going to get to talk like that. You're going to leave.
Get that guy out of here.
And then one person's like, I wanted the chips.
Actually, leave the chips here.
So well, he already ate half of them. Like,
oh, chips bag, and the beer. Boop, 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 boop. Big bag, big bag. Yeah. What is that from? Dora the Explorer?
Yeah.
Backpack, backpack.
Oh, I love Dora.
She's so cool.
Yeah, we wouldn't probably kick him out, but, you know... My family low-key can be ruthless sometimes. Like, we would
just
be making...
roasted.
Yeah, you would just get roasted the whole time. Yeah. Like, you might as well have just left at that point. Because now you're going to be the big bag.
You're the butt of every single joke.
Someone drops their plate. Like, ah, hey, come eat this. I know you want it.
That's 100% true.
Clean it up.
That's so true. It would be a roast. You wouldn't get kicked out. You're like, yeah, you just want to leave. Yeah. Like, actually, I'm going to be on my way. You're like, no, man, come on. We got food for you.
The party's just started. We got some more round two coming. You can't eat it all.
That's a real punishment. That's a good punishment.
You're being bullied passive aggressively.
No, it's not passive aggressive.
It's aggressive.
They talk about you know, to your face,
I guess. But instead of just being like, leave, we don't want you here. your make you in a roundabout way.
It's the fun
hey,
of it.
It's family. We all having fun, right? We're having fun, right?
So just jokes.
Yeah, it's all jokes, just right?
Joke, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Jokes, right?
It's a joke. We're all friends. We're yeah. family.
I'm just like, everyone's like kicking. It's fun.
Laugh. Why aren't you laughing?
Thank God we don't have useless men in our family.
Like this next story!
We failed.
That one deserved applause. That was a great one. That deserved applause. Yeah.
So right when I get the hang of it, you don't want me to get the hang of it anymore. Yeah.
Shout out Queen SJ, man.
Am I the asshole for telling my friend it's not my problem she married a useless man?
Ooh. Yeah, that unfortunately sounds like a personal problem. I mean, it's unfortunate. As unfortunate as that may be, we all have our trials and tribulations.
We do.
Shout out to the non-useless men because they're out here.
Shout out to the non-useless
Shout out to the amazing men that are out here. Oh.
I wish I knew one.
Sam's like, no, I'm not.
Well, I guess they don't know each other. Damn.
Shout out us.
Cousins.
Am I the asshole for telling my friend it's not my problem she married a useless man? I, 32 female, am a single mother of two kids, 6 male and 5 months female. I am a single mother by choice. My kids are donor conceived. Mm. I'm lucky enough to have a good job, French teacher in a private school, in a paid off house, parents' life insurance and inheritance.
Period.
Before I had either of my kids, I made sure to have a year's worth of living expenses saved. Then I would take a sabbatical to recover from birth, as well as bond with my kids. While on sabbatical, I still tutor some kids for some extra income. My friend, 34 female, just had a baby 2 months ago. She's the breadwinner in her household, and her husband has been unemployed since he was laid off during COVID. It was great to be pregnant at the same time, as well as having a friend with a newborn, but it turned sour. She has been saying how jealous she is of me being able to take a whole year off work, how she would have loved to not worry about losing their home, how she doesn't even have a couple hundred dollars in her savings account, let alone a whole year's worth of living expenses. I usually ignore it or brush it off because I kind of can understand the stress she's under. Well, starting about 10 days ago, she started hinting at not being able to afford daycare, and any mention of her husband taking care of their kid is brushed off. Then she started remarking on how much free time I must have. Which I deflected by saying, truthfully, that being a single mom to a baby and a small kid left me no free time, actually. Then last night, she just came out with it and asked me if I could do her a favor and watch her kids while she was at work. I was firm but polite when I said that I couldn't, and I'm not capable of watching two kids under 6 months. She started almost begging me, saying that she couldn't afford daycare, and if she's not back at work, she'll lose her job, and they will end up homeless. I again brought up her husband, and she said that he was not good with kids and isn't capable of taking care of her kid. I kept saying no. She kept pushing until it escalated to her calling me heartless and me telling her that it's not my problem she chose to have a kid with a useless man. Now she blocked me. I'm feeling very guilty about what I said, and I'm feeling like an asshole. Am I?
SJ's aura. I felt it, and I looked over and saw it, and then she looked me in the eye. I saw the eyes of death. She is so angry.
She now was like, I'm getting hot.
The way she was, I was scared. I was like, I started laughing out of panic. Because I was like, I know. I understand. I'm on the same page. You don't look.
It
I get
makes
you.
Me mad.
Yes. Yeah, I get you.
It makes me mad. My husband, I don't trust him to watch the kids.
It's your kid.
Not even that she doesn't trust him. She said he's not good with kids. It's
he's
his
not
choice.
Good with kids. And girl, okay.
And you had kids with him.
Yeah.
Okay, you had kids with him more than one.
No, I think this is her first.
Is this her first?
Yeah. Yeah. OP has two kids.
Okay. So you had a kid with him. He's at home. Mm-hmm. Unemployed
for 4 years, COVID 2020.
Doesn't have a job, right? Now, it sounds like you're under some financial stress, maybe a little bit. House maybe being foreclosed upon, perhaps, is what it sounds like. let me not get angry. Sorry. You're asking your best friend, hey, can you watch my kids? Because my husband's at home doing fuck all with his fucking thumb shoved up his ass. But I need you to watch my kids.
Because you're not doing anything.
Because you're not doing anything. And mind you, she's doing it all alone. Mm-hmm. Single moms out there, shout out to you. Y'all some of the strongest bitches out here.
Shout out.
And you're asking this single mother that prepared to have her children, set the money aside, did everything she needed to do to get it done, to make her vision a reality. And she did it. She's doing it.
Yeah.
And you're funky.
Okay. Okay.
Go for it.
Your funky ass is coming over here telling me I'm a bad friend. Because I don't wanna watch your little gremlin.
It's a monster.
And you're telling me you can't make your husband do it, you won't make him do it, because you need to go to work, so obviously you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You really must not be too worried about you losing your house.
Because you have all this anger, which I feel like all this anger is about her husband.
Yeah, built up animosity.
But for whatever reason, she can't either face it or approach him, whatever their relationship is. So she's going to the friend and she was like, you like are a bad friend. And it's like, I'm not the one who chose to have a baby with you. Okay? Because I planned out my life.
Yeah.
It's gone very well.
This reminds me of something that that we talked about like a few months ago, where we were talking about how you should just There was a story where this person didn't have a job for a longer period of time. And I remember we ended up just being like, because I was speaking about it, and I was speaking about a specific person who was very similar to your boyfriend in the story, not necessarily anybody who's just struggling to find a job right now. And I remember our audience really educated us on like just some things that we weren't aware of. Like basically when you get laid off from your job, it might be better to reach out to be on unemployment for a while, because then you're getting paid at that rate that you were getting paid before, mm-hmm. compared to just immediately getting a job, let's say at Walmart, where they don't treat you the best, but you know, you're still getting paid. So if anything, you're losing money by getting a job instead of being on unemployment at the rate that you're at. And if they were to get a job at Walmart and then apply for unemployment, you're getting paid the Walmart rate, not your other job rate. So mm-hmm. I just want to say thank you guys for educating me on that. Because it makes me think about this situation where I'm like, I feel like this is a little bit different. Because even if you don't want to work and she's okay with being the breadwinner of the family, mm-hmm. that's when you got to step up in the home.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is like a partnership, or at least some people see it as a partnership. But your mom, your wife,
yeah,
who you see as mom. A mom, maybe, your wife can't do everything. And the fact that... I don't know what her partner's doing, honestly.
Where's the contribution?
Yeah, and I could see how she can get there where she calls him a useless man, because you're not contributing anything to this family unit. You're not contributing money. You're not contributing like your time by doing potentially chores around the house, but especially not raising the baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bare bone. If your ass ain't getting up and going to work, get your... You better watch them damn kids. I shouldn't even have to ask you.
Because even the way that she's saying it, he's not good with kids. Okay, why did he have a kid? Because that is his child. That's not just a random kid that you're babysitting.
Like
you need to learn how to be around kids, because now you have one.
You have a
kid. Yeah, that is
so true.
How do you have a kid and are not good with kids?
I think that happens all the time.
No, this room. Okay. Yeah. I'm just going to say, and Brandon, you guys say your piece, but this reminds me of what Brandon sent me about that guy going to Japan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I did watch a lot of that.
I had to send it to you. It's a crazy, like, 11-part story so far.
Long story short, this man is going to Japan to start as many families as possible. So he's going to Japan to get all these women.
Nick Cannon.
But not Nick Cannon money.
Yeah, he does not.
He's going to Japan. Who knows how long he's going to stay in Japan to start all these families. So you're not going to be present in these families, but you just want your kids. You just think your kids would look cute with black and Asian, a Blasian baby. Are you going to raise that baby? Because now you're trying to start many families. Anyway, That's what it's about. So that's what that reminded me of.
Ew.
But then, yeah, he contracted some stuff.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Like day two.
Day
girl
two.
Girl two.
Yeah, girl two. Got him.
But,
Karma's a bitch. I should have known better if I... That's all.
Yeah, I think my biggest gripe is, yeah, with the husband. Like, everything you guys are saying. Well, first, it's like, okay, if you're married and you're doing the actions to, like, have a baby, and you know you're not good with you. I feel like that's a conversation that should have been had. One. Two, and this is me coming from my perspective, my own personal life experience. When my mom was the breadwinner at the house, my dad, the company shut down and they gave him severance and then they laid him off. He was at home cleaning. He was looking for jobs, going to walk so he wouldn't be depressed, come back, cook dinner, and take care of everything. It's not, at least from my perspective, it's not hard. Like
it's it's doable. It's probably doable. Is hard, but yeah. It's doable.
Yeah.
Literally, what else are you doing? Literally, what the flip else are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I was going to say, I think I cut myself off. It's not hard when your back's against the wall.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of other things that are going to be harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, my dad recognized that, and then he just stepped up until it was time that he found a job, and he's like, okay, guys, come together as a family. This is what we're doing together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he set us down, he made a plan, and it was like, this is what I'm going to be doing, and then he executed, and that's exactly how it went out. So it's like, this guy is frustrating me because I've seen examples of how it could go, and at least from the very minimal we know about this guy, it's like, dudes,
he's not trying. From what we are hearing, doesn't sound like he's trying.
Sounds like the useless man certified shitter.
It's your own child. Like, that shouldn't be an excuse. I'm not good with kids. It's not just a kid. It's your child. It's your offspring. It's your legacy. Freak. You need to raise that child.
Yeah.
And also, you would think, like, if you weren't good with kids, but you had a kid, that you would have an interest in wanting to be better, wanting to spend time with the kid.
I would watch a YouTube video.
Yeah, wanting to spend time with your baby, wanting to, you know, be able to start teaching your baby things. Like, I feel like a lot of parents are like, I can't get enough of my baby. If anything, like what's happening with OP, they just don't have the money to like set aside time, but they would love to be there for a freaking year to spend time with the baby. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is where the problem with traditional gender roles can be, that on both sides, how people can be locked into it. Because I have a friend, I don't want to go too deep in it because they're literally going through this, right? A similar kind of situation.
Oh, no.
Where I think because of these roles that genders have, even though everyone's saying they're progressive, we're doing all these things, we can do whatever we want. Normal people do naturally fall in these traditional lines, whether they want to or they think they are or not. But from the man's perspective, if he thinks I'm supposed to be this provider, I'm supposed to be the breadwinner, I'm supposed to do this. I've seen it where they're not doing that. The woman is, they're so depressed they can't do anything. Where if a woman was in that same situation, she's like, because she's already bred to think that she can take care of the house, that she's like, I want to work, but I know that I can do this, so I'm just going to do this because this is what the family needs. A man's not conditioned to think that way. Like, my only value is money, and I can't do anything else. I think it's completely wrong. I think it's false, but it's like what people are raised to think. If I can't give money, then I am of no use. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
And that's where gender roles are hurting us. You're like, no, we should be interchangeable. We're like switchers. We should be able to do whatever the family needs. Whoever can step up for this part, the other person steps up in this role. But because we're like bred to think this way, and it unfortunately happens for men mostly, it's like, if I'm not doing that, then I'm just going to sit at home and like wallow and not do anything. and I've seen it. And I know I try to talk to people. I'm like, it's not that. You can help. You can help in other ways. It's not just financial. But some people just don't see it that way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, I wonder if he's in that situation. And then women can reinforce it because they still think the same way. They're like, well, if he's not giving a job, then he's not taking care of the kids. Yeah. That's crazy. Why would he do that? He either has a job or I'll find a babysitter. Like, it's those deeply ingrained things that for us on this face, we're like, it's easy. Like, yeah, just do it. But some people just, they can't get out of that mindset.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I do think we should break these roles as much as possible and like stop gendering them so much so that maybe more people step up. Because she's obviously not pushing it. She's like, I just moved on. Because she's doing what needs to be done. I need to take care of this kid and I need to find any way to do it. But her husband should be an option, obviously, for that situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So top comment here. Eek. Not the asshole. I think there are no assholes here to the point of her pressing you to do this favor, which she shouldn't have asked you to do in the first place. You're exactly right that it's not your problem that she is in this situation. And while I do think a very heavy dose of empathy is important to your friendship, her having a husband who isn't employed and cannot contribute to the child care she needs is a problem that she needs to solve. It's annoying and impractical for her to think the answer here is for you to provide child care. It's dismissive of the fact that you're busy already and you only have about 7 months remaining in the time you've already allowed yourself to be on this hiatus, so it's a short-term solution. It's too bad that she's letting her situation cloud her judgment. You're not heartless. That was an unfair response for her to have and an inappropriate behavior all throughout this interaction.
Shout out to OP, actually, because I usually kind of rail against the whole single mother by choice thing because I think it's kind of an irresponsible decision to make. But I like that she did prepare because a lot of the things like financially preparing and like having a year out and all that stuff, that's stuff that a lot of people don't do. So,
in what way was it irresponsible?
What?
In what way is it irresponsible?
I think a lot of the things that people growing up, people were single mothered by happenstance or accident or by fate, the things they have to deal with as a child of a single parent already set you back so far. And then add on to that financially and all the other things. I think it's irresponsible to raise a kid in a single family on purpose. If it happens on accident, I'm not blaming, and I think we talked about this in like an episode before, but I'm like, I'm not blaming single mothers, but I think it's irresponsible to say, I'm going to purposely put you at a disadvantage in your life.
By not being in a two-parent household?
By not being in a two-parent household. Which is not demonizing single parents who their dad didn't do anything or left them. But I never liked the whole...
the choice of it.
Yeah.
SJ?
We could have a whole discourse about this.
I think it's a very touchy thing.
That's a hot take.
Yeah.
That's a hot take. I don't know if it's irresponsible, like in this situation. I feel like it would really only be a disadvantage if you lost something. So if I got with someone and I have a kid and then I end up being a single parent, then I think it would be more of a loss in that situation. But if I'm someone where I'm like, okay, I'm at this stage in my life where I'm financially prepared, because more times than not, if single women that are like, I want to have a baby, they're prepared. So if I'm a woman where I'm like, I don't want to have a partner, I am ready to have a child, these are women that are prepared to do it. And like you said, women are just like conditioned socially just throughout all of time to be like these caretakers that step up and take care of everything.
Yeah.
Can take care of everything, because the single mothers all throughout history today.
Yeah.
Shout out to my single mom. Hell yeah, girl. I don't think it's necessarily reckless. I feel like growing up as a child whose mom is a single mother.
Mm-hmm.
I think more than anything, if I didn't have a dad or I never knew my dad, I would be fine. But I have a dad that is not a great dad.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I would rather just not have a dad. And my mom be like, yeah, I was a single mother. Like, I wanted to have a kid. And there you came to be.
Yeah.
But I feel like for me, like, as a kid, I never lacked. Like, my mom, she had that shit held down every day of the week, my entire life, to this day. So I think it's very much a thing that a woman can do, because woman is just so incredible and amazing and just limitless in the things that they can do and their capacity and their capability of things that I don't think it's necessarily like, oh, that's irresponsible. Like, you need to be with someone if you have a kid.
And that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, well, first of all, it's funny when the whole single mother by choice specifically, what gets me, having a kid is a selfish thing to do. Mm-hmm. Your choice to have a kid is a selfish thing to do. You're bringing someone to the earth who did not ask to be here. You're doing it for yourself. Because you want to have children. You want to pass on your legacy. So you're already doing something that's an inherently selfish thing to do.
Yeah.
So because you're doing that selfish thing, you want to make sure that this thing is taken care of to its fullest capability. There are a lot of people saying that, and me, I'm raised by a single mom, 100%. There are a lot of people saying, like, I think I was raised fine. I think I had a good childhood. We didn't have the most money, but, like, we made it through. We're alive. I'm, like, I'm successful in my life. It was good. People, like, they're saying that dads don't have value, which I don't think is true. Just because we don't have a lot of dads in society now does not mean they don't have value. And it does not mean that they don't have an effect on your life. I know for a fact I was affected, and it took...
Oh, I think that camera turned off.
And action!
Sam, you were saying something?
I don't know. What was I saying?
Yeah. Oh, mothers. You were talking about how you felt like you lacked.
Oh, yeah.
This serious talk.
It was serious. We can't have a break like that. And I was, like, serious going. Like,
I lack something by not having a father.
I think we had, like, a 10-minute break, just so you guys know. Okay, that's weird. I don't want to discount the value of fathers. I think basically what I want to say.
Okay.
And mothers, I'm always going to exalt mothers because of all the work they do, especially in the current world we are, where there's so much fatherlessness going on in the world. I am going to promote mothers because, hey, you're stepping up where a lot of people are falling short. But that doesn't discount that men do have value and do have value in a child's life when it's done right. And I can say that by example because I've seen my uncle with his children. I'm like, that's it.
Yeah.
And that, like, they're better for it. It's not like I'm worse. It's just like it does help. Mm-hmm. So that's all I wanted to say. And that's what my whole, it's not like a strong push against single mothers by choice, because I'm specifically saying single mothers by choice, not single mothers. It's just like, hey, think about, you're making the selfish decision. How about you try to do it as best as you can? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it'd be cool to have a dad.
For his money?
Yeah.
Like this next story?
You didn't say poppy.
Well, I was going to transition and be like, well, I guess, you know, OP's got mommy's money instead of poppy's money, like this next story.
I would love that.
But it didn't make sense after such seriousness that just happened.
His real name's Clarence.
You know what's funny is for how long Sadia's known me, she does not catch my sarcasm at all.
It's hard. It's very subtle.
And I used to be way more sarcastic.
Yeah. It used to be bad. You
used to be way more?
Yes. Yeah. When I was younger. Yeah, like, was I would chronic. Just live through sarcasm.
I mean, it was just like all of it, everything.
Everything was, none of it was real.
Literally everything.
And now most of it's real.
I'm not a real person.
Yeah, you're my favorite.
Maddie, you know what I mean?
That's how it would be.
Maddie, don't do that.
Ew,
like, don't say a real thing like that. Maddie.
I said it with the Kardashian. Maddie, so I thought you would be my favorite.
Like, why'd you say it to me?
Stop looking. You're like, stop looking at me.
You're like, you're not.
You're like really funny. Yeah.
Maddie, come on.
I'm just kidding. You are funny, Sam.
It's so fake. You're so fake.
Well, yeah, because I just don't give compliments out like that. But I do love all of you here. So that was real.
That hurt her to say.
Because I don't say it. She couldn't even
look into the eye. She had. That's why I know it's real, because she looked down. She was like, yeah, you, I do love you.
Sam, you're my favorite.
For some reason, it's loving when you do it. I felt loving.
Did you?
SJ's yeah. not sarcastic.
I can't.
She's very genuine.
You're such a genuine person.
Okay, so this one is, am I the asshole for separating my finances from my husband because he won't quit giving his parents money? Am I the asshole for separating my finances from my husband because he won't quit giving his parents money? Me and my husband have been together for over 9 years, and separating our finances never occurred to me until this past year. I'm the saver and he's the spender. In the beginning, it didn't bother me because we had two incomes and we weren't rich, but we lived comfortably. His family has always borrowed money from us, but rarely ever pay that money back. I personally don't lend money, not even to family, but I didn't stop him from lending his. A few years ago, my husband was in a bad car wreck and can no longer work, so I became the sole breadwinner. He now gets disability, but that was a 4-year process. In that time, we dwindled our savings to nothing and came close to losing everything. Wow. Our debt mounted and there was nothing that I could do. When he received his back pay, I only asked him to pay off his vehicle, a loan in which I paid over 50 grand on in the last few years.
Lamborghini? God dang.
A tank or something. It's crazy.
And to put some in savings. He did neither. Instead, he blew the money, loaning over 10 grand to his family.
What?
And paying nothing towards the debt that we created. During this time, I was able to save some money for my paycheck, but not much, and I had plans to pay some debt off once I had enough saved. He knew I was saving to do this. About a month ago, I noticed over $700 missing out of our savings, and I asked him what happened. He replied with, I loaned it to my parents.
Ugh.
I asked when he was going to receive it back because that money was already spent and I needed it. He said, I don't know, when they can afford it. I blew up and I lost my shit. He didn't ask me and we didn't speak about it. He did it behind my back because he knew it would piss me off and I would say no if he asked. We had a huge fight. I figured after the fight that he would stop, but no. Yesterday, I checked my account and another $1,000 was gone. Mm. Gone where you ask? He gave it to his parents. Mm. I'm so I'm so mad. I'm seeing red. I flat out told him that as of today, I'm done with his parents. I'll pay half the household bills to buy our food and that's it. If he wants to lend all of his disability to them, fine. But I'm not going to go bust my ass over 60 hours a week so he can keep giving our money away.
Preach.
So am I the asshole for going to the bank and withdrawing all the money I put there and opening a new account he does not have access to? He seems to think I am and says that I should want to make his parents happy. I would like to see them happy. I just don't want to pay for that happiness. Am I the asshole?
No.
You're careless.
Girl, you better keep that hard on coin. You work over 60 hours a week and it's going towards your in-laws? Ooh, yeah, I might be seeing red too.
So I think in this one, it's like the fact that they didn't have a conversation and
he's stealing.
He doesn't respect her no is a problem.
Because that still works in the situation when like you still are a unit, even if one person's bringing the money in. But because we're a unit, we should make decisions on how this money is spent together. Not you just making decisions and spending money out here on your parents who are just... Why are they needing someone? What are you paying them for? What are the parents doing with this money?
Thousands of dollars.
Also, what car did he have?
$50,000?
And there's still money left over to pay off.
Well, I know like my friend's truck was like $45,000. Trucks be expensive.
Trucks are really expensive.
Plus, Tesla. If you pay it over a long period of time, it's way more than $47,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
That's probably paying almost double. I'm like, I
would never pay that much for it ever in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I think because finances are very important to me. If I ever get married, like that's something we're talking about before we get married. Like, how do you think about money? I want to see what your finances are because she knew at the beginning. It's funny, like you know at the beginning, but it was like kind of papered over because they were both making money. And we're like, we're surviving just because we're making enough money to cover whatever you're doing. But I want to know before I'm like, is this sustainable in case I lose my job or you lose your job? Like, what happens if I lose my job? Do we change? Do we change our spending habits? Do we need to change that stuff? Like, those are the conversations that need to be had because things like this happen. Mm-hmm. I'm not against OP getting out because you're like saving the family because you have to keep it away from him to make sure you're good.
Mm-hmm. Carrying the team.
Yeah, I'm okay with you getting the second thing, but I'm like, this is what we need to be talking about before you're getting married because people are going to people. This dude was a spender before. He's always going to be a spender. He's obviously giving stuff to his family willy-nilly.
Because he doesn't understand.
He doesn't understand it at all. So I'm like, you need to know that beforehand. Are you okay with that?
I think this is one of those situations where I'm like, I am in the comments being like, divorce! Only because I think this person, unless this man is willing to change, which it doesn't seem like he is because you said he's a spender. He's always a spender. He probably doesn't understand the value of money to a certain extent. And the fact that he's like, oh, well, my wife just keeps making money, so there's money here. It's fine because it's always the way it's been. He's dragging her down in a sense. So I think it's beneficial to be like, counseling, if that doesn't work, if you're not listening, if you're not willing to change, divorce. Because I don't want to start a family if they plan to have kids with somebody like this, because then I really will be tied to you forever, you know? So I think this is one of those situations where it is good to consider divorce, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
a money ignorant man is not a good thing to be a part of, because it's just going to drag you down. Like she's saying, like, it's just, I have a friend that is, I would say, money ignorant. And when I'm saying ignorant, I'm not doing it in a belittling way, but ignorant is literally just a lack of knowledge.
Like, he's an idiot about money.
No, I wouldn't even say idiot. It's like,
no.
Like, he's really stupid about it.
Because an idiot can still be kind of an idiot in my eyes. It's not like
they know, but they still do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my thing is, I was sending him resources. I was like, hey, because he fell for a scam. And I was like, all right, bet. We don't have to do that anymore. Let's look into this. Mm-hmm. I send up stuff like Caleb Hammer. I'm like, hey, look at these people that are doing the same thing you're doing right now, but you still have time to change.
Yeah.
They don't. They're in $1 million in debt. You're not yet.
Yeah.
Yet. But it's like, hey, after that, I step back and it's like, I sent you the resources.
Yeah,
if you want to continue to be money ignorant, that is on you.
Yeah.
And I feel like at a certain point, you then do become a money idiot. And it's like, I can't fix an idiot lifestyle.
You can't fix stupid or something. Isn't that a saying?
Yeah.
Keep it simple, stupid. Or is that a different one?
That's different.
It's teach stupid different. Or something anyway. Yeah.
But teach stupid on.
You can fix an ignorant person by giving them knowledge. And if they take the knowledge, okay, that's cool. You. But you can't fix a person that's completely being an idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
And if after therapy you find out he's an idiot, yes.
Well, actually, no, I'm still, because there was that Caleb Hammer episode with the chick who was like 19, the black girl. I forgot what culture she was from. But it was like she kept giving, she was like, well, my mom deserves this because of their culture. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you can't afford to do that. You can't afford to give her money, because she's like, oh yeah, it's my mom, so I just give her this money. I'm giving her this money. And you're like, there is like some people ingrained in there were like, oh yeah, I do this for my family because that's what we do, regardless of our financial situation. Like, this is what we do for our family. That's like a harder thing to break, because even when he was talking to her, you could still see she was like, I'm still going to give it to my mom, even though I don't have money and I'm taking loans and stuff to do it. How do you break through that when it's like almost culturally ingrained in you that if your family needs something, that you give that up?
I remember that one.
Because for me, I'm like, I'm sorry, mom, I don't have it.
Yeah. I think it's, I think I know the episode you're talking about, but I'm not sure if I made it that far.
She had braids, right? She had like a blue shirt. Braids,
and she was like a model. She had like done modeling. She was like 19 or 20.
Yeah, okay, it was that one. Yeah. I didn't make it that far into it, but I think either just getting in rooms again, like if she continues to get in those rooms, maybe she'll see where it's like, you know, because like Caleb Hammer just wants the best for her financially. Yeah. He's like, I don't care what anything, you could be whatever. I just want you to do better right. financially.
Well, because I feel like she still had a chance because she's so young.
Yeah.
I don't know how old OP, they've been married for 9 years, so they're probably at least in their late 20s, at least 30 probably.
Yeah.
How hard, like the older you get, how hard is it to break that, that tie to your family?
I think it's dang near, at least from what I would assume, it might be impossible.
Yeah.
But the only way that she could, a person like that could potentially, in my eyes, this is what I'm saying, me, Brandon, this is what I think. I think the only way is just that she has to be continuously in a place with people that don't care about her emotions or where she came from,
yeah.
just want her to do better. Because it's like, if they don't care about her as a person and they're like, I just want you to be better, they're not going to care, like, about the excuses.
They're just going to tell it to you straight.
They're just going to see the results and be like, you're not getting where you need to be based on what you're doing. I want the results. I don't want what you're doing. I think that's the only way. And it'd be a tough, tough position to be in because that's tough to be surrounded by people that don't care about you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But at least you would be getting the results.
So maybe this can be that line for OP where OP's like, I'm getting this to go count because I need you to show how serious this is.
Yeah.
We need to take care of us first. Mm-hmm. You do whatever you want with your little money, with your little injury money. And like, I'm going to take care of us. Even though I'm actually not against Maddie's suggestion of divorcing. Like, because money is important.
Money is like really.
It's super important. Like, people are getting, most people get divorced over money. So, like, mm-hmm. it is a thing.
Because it really can either set you up for, if you're with the right partner, it can either set you up for success, keep you where you guys are at, but just maintaining, or set you back.
Yeah.
And that's got to be probably one of the most frustrating things ever, is to be with somebody who's willing to like sacrifice you in a way and like your credit and your future. Oof. Because they don't want to stop what they're doing. You
I'm
know what
worse
saying?
Than when I was single.
Yeah.
Like, I'm actually negative from that.
Yeah. Like, I can't even go to the bridal salon like this next story.
Oh, we're already married. So you're going
I'm going to divorce you and make it with somebody else.
Number two, husband number two.
Am I the asshole for walking out of the bridal salon when I found out my friends were making fun of me behind my back?
Oh.
You walked out.
She walked out.
That's so sad.
Yeah. I have two friends, Gabby and Shelly.
Yeah.
All of us are 23, if that matters. We were roommates in college and stayed in the same city after graduation. While the three of us are close, I've always known that Gabby and Shelly are the closest. They have a really sweet friendship. Shelly's getting married, Gabby is the maid of honor, and I'm one of the bridesmaids. Over the weekend, I went with Shelly so she could look at wedding dresses. Gabby was supposed to come with us, but got called into work last minute. I helped Shelly pick out some dresses, then she went with a consultant to try them on. Shelly asked that I take pictures and videos on her phone to send to her mom and Gabby. I was getting the camera ready when a text from Gabby came through. I didn't mean to click on it and was instantly going to click back out when I saw one of my Instagram pictures in their private chat from earlier this morning. Both were making fun of me for the face I was making and my outfit choice. It didn't appear to be in good nature. I admit, curiosity got the best of me, so I searched my name in the chat. I found multiple pictures that I, my boyfriend, or my mom have shared of myself, absolutely ripping them to shreds, ranging from selfies to pose shots to even a few baby pictures. They'd also make fun of me in general in terms of the way I talked, wore my hair, and the way that I ate. This went back, as far as I could tell, at least a year. My heart broke. It all felt so juvenile in high school. While we all joke around, I would never do this to them, nor have they ever even tried to instigate these types of conversations with me about the other one-on-one. I was in tears. As someone who was bullied all through middle and high school, it just brought me back to that horrible place. I put the phone in Shelly's purse, and I brought it to another employee, telling her to tell Shelly that I had to go. I drove home and had a long cry. Shelly texted me by the time I made it home, asking where I went. I said I was going home and we could talk later. When she did call a few hours later, she was understandably confused and hurt that I left. I told her what I found, explaining that I only looked further because of the initial text that I saw. She went off on me for looking through her private texts and said those were none of my business. She also told me that I shouldn't have left the store without saying anything. I said I didn't want to make a scene, but also knew that I couldn't fake being happy for her. She told me that those texts were all in good fun, and clearly she loves me because I'm going to be her bridesmaid. She added that I'm only hurt because I chose to read all those texts. Later on, Gabby called me telling me that I invaded Shelly's privacy and hurt her by walking out. My boyfriend and my mom think I did the right thing by walking out, but obviously they're a little biased. I just wanted some unbiased looks. Was I the asshole to look through the text and then leave?
No. You got freaking Tweedledee and Tweedledum as ex-friends.
They're mean girls.
They're mean girls, and yeah. They kept you around to make them feel better about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
How old were they? 23.
Okay.
Old enough to know better?
Yeah.
Grown?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And acting like some kids.
Yeah.
I just, the whole bullying thing, that shit is crazy.
It's always funny to see the switch from when I graduated high school and then I went to college, the switch in maturity. Like, even if people were like, the culture is just different.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to like, I didn't even go to like actual university. I went to like community colleges, but people were like, it was different. It wasn't like a popularity contest. It wasn't like there was a status of any kind. It was like, I'm here to get my education and that's it.
Yeah.
And there was friends, but that environment of like a social hierarchy, it just was not there.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting because I feel like it is kind of rare, maybe more at like universities or I'm just throwing something out here that I don't know about, but, and this is a guess, but maybe sororities where that is still there. If you're in a sorority, let me know. Let me know if I'm wrong, but that's just a guess. So I don't know. Maybe it's more common, but not in the places that I went to for college.
Well, how we have friends that we have conversations about.
Mm-hmm.
Is that similar to like what's happening there? Because there's some friends, like we love them, but then we say things. I don't think we're like making fun of how they look and stuff like that or how they talk, but I'm like, we say things. I feel like that's the same energy, right?
I'll say this to defend myself.
And I'm saying we're all in this.
I've said the stuff that I've vented about friends to my other friends before.
Yeah.
The stuff that I've said to you guys about like certain friends, I've said to their face. I've tried to work through with them.
Yeah.
So it's like, at least in this situation, it's not like
it's not like a continuous conversation.
A continuous conversation. It's not like, it's more of a frustration. I don't know. Maybe I'm just fighting for my spot in heaven right now. But
no, because I'm like, I don't think I would ever do this specific thing. Like, I think it is rude to be like,
because I've never outright made fun of anybody.
I don't think,
look at
okay.
Your dress. But I'm like, I have said things about friends to other friends, like, look at this.
So, like, for example, when we talked about like all of our mutual friends, but the mutual friends that we have
quarrels with.
Yeah.
Not quarrels.
Think pieces about.
Okay.
I don't think it's I don't think it's necessarily like attacking who they are as a person, like, ew, they're ugly, like, or just who they are as their being. But normally, more times than not, it's something that they've done, and you're like,
it's the way you act. It's the way,
it's you, way act.
It's the way you act.
It's just like,
which might be deeper. It's who you are. The way, well, you
it's
are.
Like, but it's more your action, and it's more like, what did you guys think about that?
Yeah.
And then we all talk about it and we kind of like peel it back.
Like, am I feeling what, am I the only, like, one feeling what just happened?
Did you guys see that too?
Do you guys watch Taryn Delaney on TikTok?
Mm-mm.
She's like, she does like the angel. She's like a light-skinned black girl in New York. She was like, I think she was Miss New York too. But she had a thing, she had a TikTok where it was like two friends like wanting to talk about a friend that they don't know that they want to talk to. They're like,
oh,
I really like her. They're like, I really like her too. Like, she's great. She's great. She's really great. She's like, yeah, I agree. She's great. She's great. But she's like, yeah. But they're like trying to figure out, are they going to talk? That's what I feel like it is with us sometimes. And I think is that I think that's a normal thing. There's a difference between what OP's doing and what like happens in normal friends. I'm trying to help.
Yeah,
I want to be okay.
I think this is like just this story with OP. Everything that OP is talking about, this is straight like bullying, cattiness, kind of petty and rude.
Yeah.
I think what we do is kind
it's
of
good. Like, we're angels, actually.
I don't think we're bad. SJ's angels, to be exact. Yeah. I don't think we're crazy. I don't think any one of us have ever been like that. Like mm-hmm. OP. None of us have ever been like
there's
that.
There's this quote I saw, and it said, in every friend group, there's a group chat that you're not in.
Yeah.
And I think that's one part of the thing. It's like the social aspect. There's certain stuff in every friend group that happens, and it's just because it just happens by happenstance.
Yeah.
And yeah, like Maddie was saying and SJ was saying earlier, it's more critiquing, not necessarily I don't like him, I'm going to make fun of him or her. It's just more so we noticed an action. This is probably how it could have gone better.
Yeah.
And then we move on. Might say a joke or two.
We're saying more than a joke or two. I don't know if we've ever said one or two jokes ever in our lives. We're saying at least 10 jokes.
But it's like, you know, just that there's a constructiveness that comes from it. Where it's like, okay, I'm not crazy for feeling that way because that's what it made me feel like. And they're like, oh, yeah, like I can understand where you guys are coming from. And then we kind of commune over that and then move on.
Maddie, but I love like, our talks like that. I love our... they're so good. They're so good.
Well, I think that's where I come back where I'm like, I know there is 100%. That's so true. There's a chat without you. You're like not in every friend group, whatever, however you said it.
Yeah.
It would be devastating for me to... to find that chat.
No, seriously.
Because I know 100% of their friends saying stuff about me like, Sam did this. Like, I know that's happening. I don't ever want to find out about it. Because I know it's the same thing I'm saying, and I'm like, it can't be me hearing that and knowing that you guys said that about
well,
me.
Well, even like seriously, if there was a point where it's like, ooh, these two people just popped off. Like,
yeah.
Let's talk about it with one of the people, the friend group or whatever. It's like, oh, Sam did this, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And it's like, or Maddie did this. I think there's like a certain point when it comes to criticism where you're like, oh, this is like, this is how my friends feel about me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's hurtful. You're like, I'd rather not know.
Because is it truthful too? Like you guys were saying, there's a difference between just making fun of somebody because that's not a friend. But like being critical of them, be like, oh my God, this person did this, this, and this, and this. That really pissed me off, you know, or whatever. And then you talk to the friend about it. And then you're just getting advice from your other friends. But even finding that chat where you're like, oh, yeah, I did do that. I did do that. And I feel like an idiot for it, or, you know, whatever. But it's not like for your eyes. It can be uncomfortable when you find something. Yes. You're like, I was never supposed to see this because those are the immediate, honest feelings, no filters.
Unfiltered.
Exactly.
And then it's even worse because it's like not even being critical or being pissed off about something that you did. It's like, no, they're just being mean about you.
Yeah.
They said baby pictures, like whatever her boyfriend is posting, whatever her mom is posting about her. They're just making fun of her.
Yeah.
I'm like, poor what girl. The heck?
I feel bad for her.
So I do think we can separate. Like, these are clearly mean girls who are just being mean.
Yeah.
But also, everyone, look at your friend groups and, like, look how you're talking about your friends, too, maybe.
Yeah.
I talk about Sam like a dog behind his back.
Well, Sam said what?
The way he swallowed his own spit.
No, it's different because I'm like, there are certain friends. I'm like, SJ says so much stuff to my face. Like, it doesn't even matter to me what she's saying. It's, like, different when they're like, oh, you're sweet with me all the time. And then they're like.
Yeah,
we talk like honestly to each other, so it's like if I heard you guys were like, man, Sam do this, I'm like, you guys say so much stuff straight to my face, like looking me in the eyes. It doesn't hurt me to hear
you're
you
like,
say
well,
that
because
you're saying it already.
Yeah,
but it's those friends where you're like, oh, I thought we were cool, and they're like, no, I'm like barely hiding the things I have to say about you
because
happened. Yeah, it happened to me.
Yeah.
Oh.
In the friend group, I won't get into specifics.
Uh-huh.
I want to hear the specifics.
You know the specifics. we went on a trip and someone wasn't, they weren't happy for some odd reason.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up talking mm-hmm. about something. And ever since then, like, it's because I know how the person usually talks, like that whole thing you're talking about. And it's like, really? Like, you said that behind my other friend told me what you said.
Oh, yeah.
And then I called them out and I was like, so.
And they were like, yeah. Or they're like, no.
They're like, yeah. And then they tried to patch it up, but it was like, the damage is kind of done already. Like that, like we were just talking about, there's a difference between critical and just being mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think the big takeaway is when you can tell it's like you're being critical versus being mean is if you can walk away with something, or it's like I can literally say that to you and it would make sense. You'd be like, oh, that's something I can change.
Yeah.
And walk away with that.
Yeah.
Versus something you just said out of spite or just because you were feeling some type of way.
Yeah.
And it's just you were just saying it to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the big difference. And I was just like, oh, okay. Ever since then, yeah.
He's going to have to spill some stuff to Sam after this. He's like, oh, I wonder.
Yeah.
I wonder who it was. You know who it is. It's Brandon's stepkids. Like this next story. Am I the asshole for not making food for my dad's stepkids? I, 16 male, make my own lunch for school. I started making them when I was 11 and my mom was sick with cancer, and now I make all my lunches. My dad refuses to give me lunch money for school and said no way in hell to making them. Mom made his.
No way in hell.
There's no way in hell I'm supporting you, kid. You better get your ass out there and
lunch, damn it. I don't know nothing about that. I ate sticks back in my day.
I ate sticks. Really, Dad?
Back in my day, I lived in California and I would walk to New York and I would get my ass on that bus at 6 a.m.
If you're hungry, you better get down to that creek, throw some in that pond, pull some fish out that damn water.
If you don't like to work, then you might as well get your ass to the military because they'll teach you how to work.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Father. Absolutely.
Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Papa.
My dad refuses to give me lunch money for school and said no way in hell to making them. Mom made his and now he pays for lunch every day. And he doesn't want to give me money to eat outside, which is an option with parents' consent, because he'd need to pay for that. So I make them. I work part-time, so I started paying for the ingredients that I use in lunches.
Dang.
My dad got married 2-ish years ago. His wife has 3 kids who are 5, 7, and 8 now. Mm. For about a year, there's been an issue where my dad and his wife want me to make all 4 lunches. They said that if I'm making my own, I should make my siblings, and I say siblings because they're not my siblings, lunches too, to save their mom and to streamline everything. I was like, no. And my dad's wife was shocked. She called me out for making stuff only for myself. She said it's crazy that I would look at my siblings and not want to make a few things for them too. It escalated to where they said I shouldn't get to eat their dinners if I won't participate in taking care of the family. So I buy my own dinner stuff now, and I make my own. Now they're calling me out for that. They said that I could make dinner for all 4 of us, and then we could eat dinner earlier, and my dad and his wife could do something else. My dad's wife didn't make lunches for her kids on several occasions to try and make me relent. Their teachers ended up feeding them and writing to her about it.
Oh my gosh.
She was super pissed and asked me if I was ashamed. I told her that they're her kids and her problem, not mine. I also suggested she take it up with my dad if she's unhappy and wants help feeding her kids, because that's not my job. She said if dad won't feed me, he won't feed her kids. And I just shrugged that off. Monday was a big day in all of this. I was home for a few hours alone and I made a nice dinner. I was eating when my dad's wife came home with her kids, who were hungry, and she exploded on me and asked if I made the kids dinner. And I said no. She demanded for me to make it up to them and make them lunch on Tuesday, yesterday, and I said no. She called me a bunch of names and told me she fucking hates me because I'm supposed to be a decent kid, and yet I won't help feed her kids, and that's not how you treat family. Mm. I told her, because it's not my job and we're not family. I pointed out she married a guy who isn't even good to his own kid, and how her only interactions with said kid were attempting to dump responsibility onto him, me. So she really has no reason to think I owe her anything, which of course led her to calling me all kinds of things, including an ass. So am I the asshole?
Poor kid.
Nah.
Nah.
Poor kid, man.
Yeah.
Nah. Mm-mm.
You don't wanna feed them? Hell, you don't feed me.
Mm-hmm. And now you're threatening to take away dinner? It is literally yours and my dad's responsibility
why am I feeding the whole world? Mm-hmm. And I gotta buy my own ingredients and then you think I'm gonna share with these little hungry ass gremlins?
Mm. This reminds me of something that happened earlier in the story. And I just think it happens a lot in life. And it's like people that are prepared for things, like what happened with the mom, how she was prepared for the 1 year sabbatical. People that are prepared for things end up sometimes having people that are unprepared try and push things onto them because they have time to do it or they're already doing it. And I think that's kind of an interesting concept that I'm kind of running into a lot when it comes to these stories is you kind of, in a way, if you don't have boundaries for yourself, can end up doing extra work because you're trying to be helpful for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's interesting. And I'm happy that he immediately knew that was wrong and he's standing up for himself and saying, no, that is not my responsibility. Yeah. And it's crazy that he's, I feel like he's very self-aware for being 16.
Very
he's like,
self-aware.
My dad doesn't raise me. My dad doesn't take care of me. So why do you think he's going to take care of your kids? I was like, whoa. So.
Yes, that obligation. He's very mature. That obligation of family. I like that he called it out. I was like, some people think we're family, so you got to do it, right? They don't realize like it's like relationship. It's like trust and things built up. That's what makes family family. It's not us just being related. Legally tied together like that just because that's not what family is. If you've not shown me anything, I don't have to reciprocate anything in this relationship. Especially if I'm the kid. I'm the person you should be taking care of. So why am I having to do all this work and you're not reciprocating anything?
Mm-hmm.
There's some people in like the olden times were like, well, kid to kid, you just do what your parents saying. And now some kids are pushing back because I don't know if I would have been as brave as a 16-year-old kid to say this.
Yeah.
I'm probably making the food because my mom told me to. But I like that because I'm like, I do think it's true. There should be some kind of reciprocation. Just because we're family does not mean you're obligated, especially as a kid. And it's not my responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't supposed to do this. If I did it out of the graciousness of my heart, then that's different, but I'm not. So I don't want to.
Yeah, I won't.
I feel bad for this kid. He's having to grow up really fast.
Yeah.
Because I'm only assuming, but did the mother die, right?
He doesn't say, but I assume that too. Because he talks about her in the past tense and like what she was doing for him. So.
He's Cinderella, dude.
Mother potentially gone. Potentially.
He is.
And. Having to pretty much just provide for himself at this point.
Yeah, because his dad's not doing much.
That kid's all alone, it sounds like.
He's growing up really fast. I just hope that he can have some sort of childhood at 16.
Yeah.
Just still enjoy the youthfulness, but yeah.
I think to a certain extent, he's starting off strong, though, because he is standing up for himself and like the time that he has. Yeah. Establishing boundaries at 16 years old with the adults in your life who are raising you, that is, like Sam said, that's a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, even it, like, because I can understand if I was in his shoes, I would be really frustrated, but I don't know if I would be able to communicate why I'm so upset.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's able to do that so, like, effortlessly, I just feel like he's very mature for his age. He definitely probably had to grow up way sooner than he was supposed to.
Yeah. And she's trying to break you down by not feeding the kids.
Like, yeah.
She's doing manipulative things to make you feel... That's crazy.
She's hurting her own kids.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
To try and guilt you into doing it.
Yeah, that...
That's
I
crazy
almost forgot
to me. That's actually wild.
I was going to bring that up. Like, yeah, that's a level of selfishness where it's like, okay, you actually have other issues. If you're willing to...
You have other issues.
Time out.
But yeah, if you're willing to put your kids in harm's way to prove a point.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter at the end of the day. You are the mom. Take care of your kids.
Yeah, there's something wrong.
You have a lot of other issues that should be. Like, at that point, it's like, should he call CPS?
Actually, let me read a top comment here, because somebody actually mentioned that. And then we'll read top comment and then we'll go. Not the asshole. The whole family dynamic is toxic and you guys should be in therapy. And if your step sibling's teacher has had to feed them multiple times, stepmom is probably going to get a call from CPS relatively soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Did you finish what you were going to say?
Yeah. Oh. The last thing. Her saying that she hates him should be a flag for the father. Like, the hatred is a crazy. Just for not doing one thing that you were actually supposed to be doing, you hate him for that.
Yeah,
she probably just doesn't like him in general. That's not going to be a safe home for him to live in.
I don't even think the dad cares, because he's not even feeding him.
The dad's not even involved.
He's not even feeding him.
Yeah,
dad doesn't care. So we had, you know, crazy bridal salon bully story, cookouts where you're getting kicked out.
That's so true.
Some useless men.
Damn it. Hate those guys.
Maybe more than one story. Poppy's money. Daddy's stepkids that we just talked about.
Or Brandon's stepkids.
And calling somebody stupid. Because I would say OP's dad is pretty stupid.
Oh.
Yeah. I would say that. Mm-hmm. And OP's mom. Stepmom. Not mom. OP's stepmom.
Okay.
And with that, it's pretty late. People got work in the morning. Some people earlier than others. And I'm talking to you, purple shirt with the sunglasses.
Yeah, that's me.
So we're going to hit the hay and get out of here, guys.
Ew.
And with that,
I can't end like this.
We'll see you later.
That's the cringiest fucking thing. What was that?
It was a Disney Channel.
What was that? She had like the Disney Channel bounce. Like, wait, that was so scary.
And we all just sit here and watch it.
Maddie, how could you do that with a straight face?
There are so many creators online that I watch that do the like the reenactments of like Disney movies, and so I got it down. And you wouldn't get that.
That's Debbie Ryan, damn it!
That is Debbie Ryan.
That's
Debbie.
All of Radio Rebel right there.
I went somewhere else mentally.
I was like, I can't be here.
She said hitting the hay and then start doing that, and then I just Maddie, started thinking about Barnyard.
That's so like, that's so Radio Rebel, like Camp Rock coded.
What do they do in Camp Rock? I don't have rhythm to do it.
Was Camp Rock a show or a movie?
A movie, a three parts, two?
Oh, it's three parts? Is that why you guys care about it so much?
I actually didn't watch Camp Rock.
Oh, really?
Yeah, me neither.
I know, shocking. I didn't watch Camp Rock.
Oh.
I didn't watch Radio Rebel.
Camp Rock, Crown Jam.
No, but guys, we're gone at this point. We gotta go.
Yeah, we have to leave.
We haven't left yet?
Oh.
I mean, when you pull the mic out like that, let's pull it out
like this, and let's just sit back and have a little conversation about that.
This is the podcast after the podcast.
Now, you know what this feels like? This feels like when they're like those movie stars on the panel, and they're all just kind of sitting back, shooting the shit.
I liked when Sam was doing a really serious reply, and the camera stopped, so we had to reset. And then I had to go like blow my nose twice. I had to got up like twice.
That's
and then
what you
I
did?
I took 2 minutes to eat a fruit, like a fruit roll up.
We did watch you eat the entire thing.
We did.
So by the time we got back to it, Sam completely forgot what we were talking about.
The emotional core was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that. Because we moved on and we moved back.
We did.
Honestly, I think my favorite part was Justin when Maddie transformed into a freaking Disney star.
Did you actually like her? Was it like and hate?
It was
because you didn't seem like you guys liked it at first.
It was
it was
the most cringe thing I've ever seen, but it was
she's ever seen.
But it was so nostalgic that I could look past that.
Okay,
see.
So you enjoyed it? There was somebody that enjoyed it.
It's like in a sick way, I did.
Yes,
and that's why we have honest friendships.
That is honest.
Honesty. We'll say 2024.
That was the cringiest thing I've ever seen.
And
ever.
That was a little hurtful, but it was honest. And I get it. I need to know before the comments tell me.
Two friends stab you in the front.
Cut it out.
Okay.
Yeah, me and Ashley aren't going to message later like, dang, that was so cringy.
No, we're not going
to
do that.
You guys are going to say it to each other now.
Yeah, Maddie already knows because I just told her.
And shout out Don Camillo, man.
Shout out who?
Don Camillo.
Don Carmelo's?
Yeah, Don Carmelo.
What is it called?
Don Carmelo's.
Oh, it is Don Carmelo.
Yeah. Like Carmo. Carmo. Carmel.
Yeah, Don Carmo. Carmelo's. Yeah.
He's a man.
He is a man.
Shout out Donathan Carmelo.
He sponsored this podcast.
We pay them money. What do you mean?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't get that for free? I thought he was giving it for the podcast.
I wish.
Man, who cares about it? No free clout for the girlies.
But it was pretty good.
It
wasn't that good. I thought it was sponsored.
He said it was free to me.
Yeah, I was saying all those things because I thought we had sponsored pizza.
No.
You paid for that?
Yeah.
That sucks. That pizza sucks.
I was like, I thought he really liked it. I thought he would go back and get food. I was like,
we got to say nice things because they're sponsoring us.
You know what? That pizza is the pizza that I imagine that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles eat.
In a good way or a bad way.
1,000%. That pizza looks so good on Ninja Turtles. That's 100% the pizza we're eating.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a good way.
Okay. Ninja Turtle pizza looks good.
Delicious.
You know what the best looking pizza was?
What?
Goofy movie.
You ain't lying.
Yeah, that pizza
was good. That one
So I guess...
No, that was it.
The flow of conversation kind of stopped.
Yeah, that was weird.
Abruptly.
Yeah.
I can be cringe again if you want.
Well, thanks guys for watching. Yeah.
Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, all that.
Yeah, all that good stuff. We got to get the hell up out of here.
Bye, guys. You guys don't even leave right now.
We got
you guys are leaving.
I'm going to grab a snack on the way out.
Okay.